I really don't have that much time now because we aim to finish this meeting by noon. But let me continue. In this second session, I want to bring our fellowship down to a more practical level. When I say that the need today, let's talk about just the Lord's recovery today. And let's be even more specific. That is the church life, the churches in Northern California today. What does it mean for us to be an overcomer? What does that mean? Well, I think generally we all know what that means. And that is when God's people and the condition of the church has become subpar, that has fallen below and sometimes very much below God's requirement, God's expectation, God's ordination. There needs to be those who rise up in that situation of degradation and failure to what? To not to a super level, but back to the original level. And I keep saying this is the spirit and the principle of the Lord's recovery. We're not in the recovery to be super Christians. We're in the recovery to be normal Christians, but normal not according to the world, to this age, including Christianity for sure, but normal according to God's word, normal according to what God desires, because even in God's word, his people failed again and again, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so today in this situation, in the context of the Lord's recovery, there is also the possibility, in fact, it happens, that even the recovery is not up to the standard, not up to the standard. And so even in the church life today, there is a constant need for overcoming, for the call to overcome, for overcomers, to stand in the breach, to stand in the gap, to take the right position, to shoulder the responsibility that the church is not bearing. Where the general church failed God, and it has failed God for 2,000 years, these last 2,000 years, God's move were only maintained because there were overcomers raised up in various ages. And these faithful ones brought the church onwards, not the church in general. The church in general failed, is in apostasy. As I mentioned already, it is Thyatira, it is Sardis, and it is Laodicea. And in those situations, Christ, the pneumatic Christ, the one with the seven spirits, called for overcomers, he who will overcome. And by the way, this Christ that is revealed in the book of Revelation, written by John, who saw these visions, this one is the one with the seven spirits and the seven stars in his right hand, amongst other things. In fact, I would even say this Son of Man who is walking in the midst of the golden lampstands has changed from being a lamb or a little lamb of God who died on the cross silently, compliantly. No, here in the book of Revelation, while he is still the Lamb of God who is freshly slain, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion Lamb. And if you read the description of this one in chapter 1, the Son of Man walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, his feet was burning. His eyes were piercing with fire. Out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. And his hair is white like wool. I mean, what is this? This is the Christ in Revelation. It's a different Christ. It's a Christ who is there to intensify the churches. To what? To gain the overcomers. The churches fail already, as I said. But he's there to call the overcomers, and he called those overcomers as such a Son of Man. And with the seven spirits of God, which is not seven different spirits, but the Spirit intensified sevenfold. Because the overcomers need that. They cannot overcome by themselves, or they cannot overcome with an ordinary experience of the Spirit. They need the Spirit ratchet up seven times in order for them to overcome in this dark age, amidst this degradation. The seven spirits are to intensify God's believers, those in his church, to overcome the age that church was in. And today, we're in an age where all these, last four churches in Revelation still are in existence. So we have to overcome the Catholic Church. We have to overcome the Protestant churches. We even have to overcome the degraded recovered church, which we could become, by the way, not just the British Brethren, as Watchman Nee Post suggested, that Philadelphia would be fulfilled by them, even we. And so Christ today is, his work as the seven spirits is intensifying us. And thank the Lord, we have the seven spirits to overcome. But those seven spirits will only work if there's an opening, if there is a cooperation, if there is a decision made in this way. Lord, I will overcome. Lord, I make a plan to live as an overcomer today. I tell you, that opens the door for the seven spirits to work, to intensify you. Now, let's come to the point. What is the main thing? What is the practical thing today? What is the sign, if you will? What is the experience of overcoming today? What is it to become to be like the sun that shines in his strength? What is it to be Joshua and Caleb? What is it to be Barak and Deborah? What does it mean? Well, I will boil it down to a very, very simple terms. Following the speaking by our dear brother, Lee, in the last phase of his ministry. And he said this over and over again. There are different things, but the main need, he said, in the recovery today, especially speaking to us in the USA, the churches, is vitality. Vitality. That means what? That means a kind of condition, a state of being living, a state of livingness. Vitality, brothers and sisters, is a state, is a condition. Vitality is not just a one-time experience. It's not a Pentecostal, the Spirit fall on you experience. It's a state that you're in. It's a state you maintain. It's a condition that you exist in as a believer, as a Christian, as a brother and sister in the church. That is the main need today. And that is the way we overcome. And that is the life of an overcomer. So back in 1993, when Brother Lee gave the life study of these three books, he was at the time deeply burdened with what he called vital groups. Now, I'm not going to get into vital groups. I'm just talking about vitality, that vital condition, that overcoming condition of the believers, of us. At that time, he was speaking very much, and he started the vital group training in the fall of 1992. And he ended the first training of the vital groups in 1993 spring. All right. After that, we have the Thanksgiving conference in Anaheim in the Hilton Hotel. Some of you might have been there. And that summer, we had the training, life study on Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And after that, in the fall of that year, 93, he began the second series of training on the overcomers that lasted 4 months into December. And today you have that book, The Practice of the Vital Groups, something like this, or The Urgent Practice of the Vital Groups. Anyway, it's there. And if you read that book, you will find his speaking along these lines of being vitalized. Now, brothers and sisters, today, many years later, this is what? Almost 30 years later, not quite. I dare say the need in the recovery has not changed. The need among us is for vitality. Today, we have even more truths, all right? And thank the Lord for the seven feasts. Thank the Lord for all the riches that we have inherited. With no problem there. The Lord's recovery is rich to the uttermost. But what is short is not that. What is short is the vitality of the saints. We don't have the necessary vitality to work out these truths, to live out these things, and to carry on and to overcome the current situation. What situation? Mainly these two things. Deadness, the deadness of Sardis. And number two, the lukewarmness of Laodicea. And Brother Lee actually, I think, added one more thing to complete his list of three enemies, and that is barrenness, the inability, the condition of impotence in bearing fruit, in gaining increase for the Lord's recovery. And this spills over into many areas of our church life, our meeting life, our serving life, our gospel life, our shepherding life. All would depend on whether there is a group of saints in that church who are truly vital. They're not just vitalized temporarily, just jumping up and down for a week. They live in a condition of vitality. And a few things I want to help you in this matter of being vital. Of course, these things might have been spoken before, but I like to say something today. I already mentioned to you, even in the last session, the first thing is spend time with the Lord to make decision, to make your decision. And that's not just one time. You need to make that decision again and again and again. Not just a decision, but searchings. That means to devise a plan, right? A plan that you will live out that decision in the coming days and years. I call this Kingdom First. Maybe we should have a website called kingdomfirst.com. All right? That simply is from that chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The whole point there is that we don't need those things, these things, or that these things are wrong and sinful. No. But it's a matter of priority. The decision here is priority. What is the priority of my life? Is it to be an overcomer of Christ, of God? Or is it just to live this life on the earth successfully with the good kids and, you know, good job, you know, financial independence and nice life? What is the priority? And no wonder, Brother Lee, in that, I read to you already last Lord's Day, in the third paragraph in this these outlines in this recent crystallization study training, where he say it's no longer adequate for us just to be a good brother, a good sister, go to the meeting, do a job, and be a nice person, and call it a day. He said, that's good. That's nothing wrong. Wonderful. But that is inadequate to what? To meet the need of God today. God today needs a group of people who would join him to write his history, or this chapter of his history, on the earth. So we need ones. So he is there, what? He is the energizing God. I use the word intensifying spirit to what? To energize us to live, to become living and active, to in him, with him, by him, and for him, to work out his interest, and also to meet the need of his people, of humanity. So that's what it means. That's what it means, kingdom first. Kingdom first is not just I'm for the church life. Kingdom first is I will be an overcomer in the church life. I will live in an overcoming way. That's just my life. That's how I order it. That's how I plan it. I made that decision. And it, what? Trickled down to all my priorities in life. I still have to be a responsible person. I need to take care of my family. I need to take care of my children. I need to take care of many things. I don't mean we should not be responsible, just sit there and wait for Christ Jesus to come. I don't mean that. But while we are doing these as working saints, there is a clear priority. And once that priority is made, then we can now talk about being vital. So the first thing is that decision and that searching, that plan that we have to make before the Lord. And I still ask you to do that, brothers and sisters. I don't know how a Christian who loves the Lord, who's for the Lord's purpose, would not do that. It doesn't work that way. You pursue a career, you have to make a decision and you have to have a plan. Am I right? This is logic. And the same thing for God's interest in the spiritual realm. Why? How can we succeed if we don't do that? So I ask you, in these coming how many weeks, 6-12 weeks in this period of time, not just this afternoon, not just this coming week, but spend the time before the Lord to make those decisions and devise that plan. And those plans may change and may need to be adjusted. And we adjust it by going to the Lord time and time again. Now, the next thing I will tell you concerning this matter of being vital is you have to be ready to pay a price. Yes, I did say that. I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here. I must tell you the truth because I'm here calling you on behalf of the Lord to go this way. My experience, many others' experience, the Lord's word, if we're not ready to pay the price, we cannot be an overcomer. Let me give an example. Now, I don't have the time to get into it, but maybe next 2 weeks from now. And that is the third couple. The third couple. Who is that? That's Ruth and Boaz. All right? Ruth and Boaz. I just wanted to be here to talk about Ruth. Talk about Ruth. And so, you know the story of Ruth. You know, when does that story happen? It happened actually in the first stage of the Judges, the book in Judges. It happened during the time of the Judges, in the beginning. For those few hundred years or something like that. While the book of Judges is what Brotherly would call a time of what did he say? I'll just read it. Judges is a book of Israel's miserable history. Dark and foul. He used the word foul, the smell. It's putrid. It's foul. It's odious. Ruth is the record of a couple's excellent story, bright and aromatic. The main character in this story, Ruth, is like a lily growing out of brambles and a bright star in the dark night. Now, to come to my point concerning Ruth, that overcomer, that Moabite overcomer. Can you believe a Moabitess became an overcomer because of her decision? And let me tell you her decision. Her decision is not just a decision. Her decision was a pledge, not just a pledge. Her decision was an oath. No, more than an oath. Her decision was a vow. She swore almost to this. Listen to her decision. She told Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Do not entreat me to leave you and turn away from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you dwell, I will dwell. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah, do so to me, and more as well." She's swearing here. "If anything but death parts me from you." Now, talk about a decision. You know, She actually fulfilled even sort of the Lord's word in the New Testament. The Lord says, if anyone who wants to follow after me, you have to what? Deny and leave your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your children to follow me. I deserve that kind of following. The Lord said that. Am I right? This is in the Gospels. She did that. In one vow, she what? She gave up her citizenship, so to speak. She gave up her status. She gave up her family. She must have her own parents. She must have her own cousins. She gave that up. She might have brothers and sisters in Moab. I'm going to leave. I'm leaving them. I'm following you, mother-in-law, Naomi. Because Naomi evidently has been talking to her about Jehovah blessing his people, what the Israel was, or what the Israelites were, what God's promise were. And she was drawn to that. And she decided that. And she said, from now on until death, I'm going to go with you. Don't tell me to leave you anymore. My goodness, my goodness. This is what I mean by paying the price. Dear brothers and sisters, in my experience, all these 50-some years in the Lord's recovery, church life, all my overcoming, all my advance, all my going on, all came with a price that I have to pay. Different times, different price. Sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller. Sometimes things more dear to my heart, sometimes not as much. But every step, there's a price. Seek first the kingdom, there's a price. Some may say, don't talk about price, because when you talk about price, no one will follow the Lord. It's so hard. No, that's not true. History tells us there are many who will not follow, who will not follow that young man. He couldn't give up what he had, and he wouldn't follow. But there are always those who will follow. Those are the overcomers. They pay the price. 500 saw the Lord after he resurrected, but only 120 prayed in that upper room. That's a price to pay. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to pay the price not just to be in the church life. We need to pay the price to be vital. Vitality comes with a price. You have to do certain things. You have to not do certain things to be vital. It's a struggle. This 50-some years in my life, others can testify, has been a daily struggle. And why would I struggle? I can just go and have a wonderful, easy life. At my age now, I should be, am I right, on some island, sipping whatever. What's going on here? I'm still paying a price today. That price is to be vital, to be living and active, to carry out the Lord's interest today on the earth, which I'm a part of. And I don't feel I have fully fulfilled my duty. I'm still in, quote, unquote, Afghanistan. You understand what I'm saying? I'm still in Iraq. I'm still in Syria, whatever, because the war is not over yet. And I paid that price to be not passive. I refuse to be a deactivated military person. You know, this time some who have been discharged want to go back. You know what I mean? Some of these military personnel. Yeah. As long as I have breath, as long as the Lord give me the health and the situation, I'm not done. I'm still paying the price, kingdom first. I'm here to be living and active with the saints. So the Lord's recovery can forge onward. His interest can be carried out. I'm still doing that. And brothers and sisters, we should be ready to do that. To tell you there's no price paying is a lie. But what is the price exactly? Only the Lord will tell you. That's part of the searching. That's part of the searching. You have to transact with the Lord. Let him tell you. The Lord told me in different stages, very, very clearly, this, 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 and this. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's with tears. Sometimes it's with great inconvenience. Sometimes it is the what forsaking of this or that, the abandoning of this or that in my plan, so that I can follow his leading and footsteps. I don't know what that is, but you must be ready to do that. When you make the decision, when you say, Lord, I will follow you. Lord, I will be living an active saint in the church, no matter what. Even no matter how other saints are, I will be living and active. Let me quote you one word, brotherly say. It's quite enlightening and startling, has a startling effect on me. He said, to be vital or to stay vital exhausts you. So you think you're going to kind of a walk in the park to be living and vital? No. It's not easy to be vital, and it's harder to stay vital. Is that it exhausts your being to remain vital. And I say a big amen to that. But what can I do? I made the decision to take this way, and I'm going all the way. I'm not going to go halfway, and that's it. So I have no choice. But I would like to add this important footnote. That is, when we pay the price to be vital, to be living and active, to overcome deadness, lukewarmness, barrenness in the church life, I tell you, the inner pump, 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 you know, the pump, 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 huh? The inner supply and energization and intensification was my portion all these years. It's not a talk. It's not a message. It's real. Grace flows like a river. Why we don't experience the sevenfold intensified spirit? Because we didn't pay the price. The spirit is not there just for you to enjoy and for your own benefit. No, the spirit comes. The seven spirits is sent forth to the earth to accomplish God's economy. So he dispenses himself into those who are ready to cooperate with the Lord. So that's number two, the supply, right? The price paying and the supply is the same thing. Number three, I would like to say, to be vital is an extremely personal matter. Personal, not even with your spouse. You starts with one person. Personal matter. So be vital personally. That means you need personal engagement with the Lord. You need personal time with the Lord. You need to abide with him and fellowship with him personally. And this is whether it's in the morning or during the day or whatever, we personally need to what? Keep ourselves in the, we need to be vitalized, number one. We need to be what? Keep ourselves in a state of vitality. Personal. It starts there. It will spread. It will touch others. It will affect and influence others, for sure. Oh, by the way, you know, you read Revelation about the Son of Man. He said, and he is the living one and was dead, but now alive. I tell you, Christ in Revelation is the living one. So to be vital is not a small thing. To be vital today is to be Christ, to live Christ. And not only to be living, Christ in the book of Revelation is exceedingly active. I would like to say passivity is a curse, is a Christian curse. Don't be passive, brothers. In a sense, you don't need to wait to be vitalized, fully vitalized. No, you just act. You just do things. You just labor. I tell you, it is a cycle. That initiative you take will cause you to be more vital. And when you're more vital, you will do more things, and you got into that vicious living cycle of vitality. So that would be my next point. My next point is, don't wait. Don't be passive. Take action. Even you feel I'm not fully vitalized, take action and serve and do things. And this training, we're going to talk about a particular direction of things we can do and serve and act in. Don't wait. In conclusion, I have to end now. A state of vitality, or to be vitalized and to live in a state of vitality, not just for weeks, not just for months, not just for years, but for decades. Until we die, until we meet the Lord, we will live as a vital believer, or brother or sister. We need always two things in our attitude. Okay, this is an attitudinal matter. Number one, desperation. Desperation. And number two, absoluteness. I think these two words go without saying, if you have all the above. Desperate. Desperate every day to be vital. Absolute every day to be living and active. Not one day will go by. Could be a bad day, could be a great cloudy day, could be things happen. I will be that vital person in the recovery to take care of the church, to take care of people, to contact people, to be active in the church life, to function, to speak, to pray, to praise, to do so many things. This is the need of the Lord's recovery today, brothers and sisters. So I think for now, this is good enough. And beginning 2 weeks from now, we will get into some practical handles. But we have, because we have two sessions, I will use always the first session, the shorter one, to still be on this line to help us all, right? To help us all. There are other things I still need to talk about, and that is, the maintenance of this vitality is by prayer, much prayer. And by what? By confession. And by what? By blending. All right? So these things, I'm going to spread them out. But we will also have a second line that will begin to give us a way to carry out as working saints in your local church to build up the local churches in a new way, wherever we are. Okay, I stop here. Ray, back to you.